broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
This is the broadcast for June 8th, ladies and gentlemen, 2021. We're moving forward as quickly as possible, interviewing folks from Red Pill. We had too many interviews, so we're covering them now for the next several days. And we're going to be talking to Julie Fry Mueller now. She's a state senator for South Dakota on your radio.
Happy to have you along, my fellow American, Sam Bushman, live at Red Pill. Man, it seems like we are just tearing it up. We're putting about 2 weeks of radio together in 1 week, ladies and gentlemen. It is hard-hitting. It is incredible education. It is freedom at its best. Not a mask in sight. Good, honest people everywhere. You got to love it. And up next, Julie Fry Mueller with me. She's a South Dakota state senator. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thank you, Sam, for having me. I appreciate it.
So tell me your background before you became a state senator.
My background, well, I used to be a professional singer, country singer, my twin sister and I. No, not right now.
All right.
But
old kind of country, though?
Yep.
Like
oh,
Bobby,
yeah.
Like
oh,
Bobby
yeah.
Bear kind of stuff?
No, Barbara Mandrell, Reba McEntire.
All right.
You know, Crystal Gayle, that era.
All right.
Yep. And
good work.
I loved it. It was great. Nights got a little long, though. But anyway, oh, then the next thing are we have a family business. We've had a family business for 38 years.
You and your husband, right?
No, my father.
Your father.
And my mother.
Okay.
Yep. And they wanted each one of us girls one at a time to come work for them. And I used to be in insurance also. But ended up all being a family business. And we've been there 38 years. And unfortunately, we just lost our father 4 months ago. But
sorry to hear that.
Thank you. It's been hard, and he's a real staple in our community. People have known him forever, so it was hard.
And what kind of family business?
We own a paint and decorating store, flooring, all that kind of stuff.
All right.
So
a lot of subcontracting stuff, remodels, and all kind of things, huh?
Yes, but you know, with my state job, you know, sometimes things get in the way. So.
Yes. So how did you decide to run for politics?
I was screaming at the television in my kitchen, absolutely screaming, calling names to the idiots that I was watching, and I bet you all your listeners out there have done the same thing. Everybody that I talked to, I said, you know, I'm screaming at the television, are you too? And they said, yes, and I said, well, nobody can hear me in the kitchen. So I needed to get my voice out there, and I've been active, you know, because we are business owners and we're active in our kids' school. We always went to school board meetings anyway and city council meetings and county commission meetings. So I was going to these meetings and I didn't like what I had seen or what I heard. And I thought, you know, I didn't want to get into this, but I was recruited and I've been in it now for 5 years. And I'm so glad that I know what's going on in our state, because I was just trusting people, and you can't really trust anyone anymore.
Sad tale, but true. Now, is it a 6-year term?
Is it a what?
In the state Senate, is it a 6-year term?
Is it a secure what?
6-year term.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's at the U.S.
I understand.
No, it's just 2 years.
So it's 2 years for a state senator in South Dakota.
Yes.
All right, so this is your third cycle?
Right. I was
two
terms in the House, and now this is my first term in the Senate.
Okay, but House and Senate are both 2 years.
Well, I'm on my fifth year. I'll be on my sixth.
Right, but I'm
two
saying
year,
the House,
4 years in the House.
Right, but the House and the Senate are both 2-year terms, though.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Understood. Okay. Well, that's excellent. And are you going to continue, or are you going to self-term limit yourself, or what are you going to do?
Oh, I won't do this forever, but I want to make sure when I'm done that there's somebody who will stand up for the people like I do and not cave to the establishment.
All right. Do you get maligned by the media?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. I had fellow Republicans do some real bad things to me as well. So, but I'm conservative. I am not giving up my values. I will not cave, and I will work with people. But I work for the people, and I'm going to do the best job I can for what we the people need.
Well, we are grateful for people who are willing to keep their oaths of office. That's for sure. Now, I got kind of roasted, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to explain the story. So whenever something happens, my kids always say, whenever they write about something, they always go, roasted. And so I got roasted, ladies and gentlemen. Julie sits down to talk to me before we're doing the interview. And she's like, hey, what are we going to talk about? I said, well, we can talk about this, this, and this, and this. She says, you know, I think we've got to talk about apathy. I think we've got to talk about people not involved enough in government and things like this. And She's like, do you know who your local and state representatives are? I said, you know, I don't. And I made all these reasons and excuses why. And I agree that every one of them are probably justifiable, but it's still not excusable. And so I got roasted, ladies and gentlemen. And I know more about the sheriffs in this country and more about my federal congressmen and senators and a lot of these other offices than I do my own local people. And so at the end of that little discussion, I told her that I'd repent. All right.
You're doing a good job.
What do you think of that, though? How many talk show hosts will come on the radio and say that kind of stuff?
You know what? I'm very proud of you for admitting it. But I did, you know, I won't harass you the other way I did because we're on the air, too.
But you'll also, though, admit, though, that very few people will be as candid as I will and admit that you're correct. And really, that kind of generated this discussion that we need to talk about apathy, because how many people are in my position or in the position where they don't know who their reps are? They need to, what I always say about the sheriffs is you got to make sure your sheriff knows your name. And I think that's true with across the board. Even as busy as I think I am, it's no excuse, Julie.
Oh, and you know what? And as long as there's people out there listening to us right now, we can let them know you have no excuse either for not knowing who your legislators are, who your city council members are, who your school board members are, your county commission members. It is your responsibility. If you don't like how things are going, you need to pay attention. And with the way things are going in this country, trust me, it's happening at all those levels I just mentioned. And right now we have an election that's going to happen on Tuesday, and people don't even know, you know, what district they're in for anything. You have different districts for school board here. You have different districts for county commission, for city council, for state legislature, for water district. You have different districts for everything, and it is a lot to know, but it is our duty as citizens to pay attention to that and watch our voting records. Watch what we do. Don't just trust us. Yes, I'm a Republican. I'm going to tell you the five things. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-gun. I'm for less taxes, less government, you know, all those things. But are you going to watch me and follow up to see how I actually vote? Nope, you're really not. There's hardly anybody that does. And what I'm asking all of you out there today is please go pay attention to who is representing you at every level of government and watch what they do.
And spend time then, not only watching what they do, but one of the things that I've learned is we need to do a lot of the work for you. Imagine if you had your citizens come to you and say, look, I know you got these 25 bills before you coming up this term or this session. And you know what? I don't like these bills, and here's why, Julie. I do like these bills, and here's why. And you know what? I'm hoping you'll take my counsel, my guidance, my support, and take it seriously. And I think that's another thing we can do. It's hard to do, though, because it takes time and effort and, man, less football games or less whatever. But it is critical. And really what you need is help. How many bills do you guys get before your Senate?
A bunch, right? Yeah, we do. We have hundreds of them. But you know what? We have a great legislative research council. And I had three different people from Custer County come up to me this last year before session even got started. And they each had issues, and all of them needed addressed or tweaked. One was on game, fish, and parks. One was on property taxes. And another one was on whether or not we should count horses as agriculture, because we have somebody who has 32 horses and he has it as a business, but we can't put horses as agriculture. And we added five words to a bill, and you'd have thought we were just changing everything. And of course the bill was killed. But anyway, you know, the Legislative Research Council, I can give them permission to work with me and the constituent on a bill, and then we can get it all done. We get a draft, maybe we tweak the draft, and then we just keep looking at it until we think we've got it right. Sometimes I send it to a department to say, you know, because if, you know, the governor's office goes through every bill, and if somebody's not going to like it, they check with the department. So it's nice to kind of at least say, this is a hunting bill, it's on mentoring or whatever, and, you know, is this something that can work? But, I mean, I don't work for the departments, but you want to make sure.
You do need coordination is the point.
Well, right? It's nice, but usually I don't do that. But I do it when I think it's something that I do want their opinion on. But if it's like on parental rights or schools or anything, I don't want their opinion, because I care about the parents and the kids.
All right, so I want to ask you a blunt question. Since you asked me one and I admitted to it, I'm going to ask you a blunt question.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how many bills come to your Senate desk in a given session. And I don't know that the exact number matters. Let's say that it's 300, 400, whatever. And let's say that half those get passed. I don't know the number. How many of the bills that you vote on do you actually read? And I don't mean do you have somebody else read for you. How many do you read? And do you vote on bills that you haven't read?
No. I mean, I won't vote for things that I haven't read or if it's in too much detail, and because we just get them the night before. And so if it's important, you need to get it to us sooner. I think a lot of times there's 40 pages of something and you'll get it and it's like, wait a minute, I don't really know that I trust the department that's bringing this.
Yeah, it's a complicated 40 pages is your point.
It is. And if I'm not totally comfortable with everything like from Health and Human Services and they're coming in with something really different, I'm not going to vote for it.
So you'll just vote no?
I would vote no.
Okay. Because I think that you're a rarity. I think that a lot of people will just consult their colleagues, and if they feel like it's good, then they'll vote for it. Or sometimes they'll just say, look, I haven't read it, but I've read a summary, or I've had several aides read it, and they all understand who I am and what I... And so we go ahead. I think that we need to have two things, a single-page bill act, in other words, a one-issue-at-a-time bill. That doesn't mean it can't be two pages on occasion or whatever. The idea, though, is a single item, so we don't get these omnibus kind of spending bills. And then a read-the-bills policy. If we read the... Incredible broadcasting on your radio, Red Pill. Incredible interviews continue. Julie Fry Mueller with us, South Dakota State Senator. Do you know all of your local officials, ladies and gentlemen? Do they know you? Sam repents on air when Julie calls me out. How do you like that? Quick pause. Interview continues. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Dad, can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know. I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
And
we can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where'd all these cats come from?
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Julie Fry Mueller with me, South Dakota State Senator. Do you know all of your local officials? Do they know you? Sam repents on air when called out because I don't know every one of mine. And all I'm telling you is it's important to know them. It's also important to read the bills, ladies and gentlemen. You know, there's a lot of people in government all up and down, whether it be a county, city, state, federal. They don't read the bills they sign. What they oftentimes do is rely on somebody else to give them a summary of the bill, and then they vote. Or if their friends sponsor the bill, they say, well, we trust our friends, and they sign it. You wouldn't do that with your mortgage. You wouldn't do that with your own personal financial life. Don't do it when you represent us in government. So there's people with Downsize DC and other nonprofit organizations that have put together what's called the Read the Bills Act. And so I'm talking to this state senator, Julie, about this very thing. Julie continues. Issue bills, it becomes much easier to really decide up or down what we're standing for and against, right?
Well, you're absolutely correct, but sometimes they'll bring us something and say, oh, it's just a cleanup bill from 20 years ago. It's safe to do.
And then you say we're not cleaning it up like that.
Yeah. Well, no. Last year I think they broke a 40-page one up or something down into 20 each page. But, there's just so many things that we don't even need to be involved in with government. We are in. There's so much overreach in every aspect of it that it's like we don't need more government oversight in a lot of these things.
The other question that I would ask is, how do we just get bills that just get rid of bills? In other words, can we just create legislative pieces that just start, I don't even know what you call it, but something that would just simply say, hey, we're going to get bills gone as fast as we create them or faster. Because at some point, if you don't, we just get more and more and more and more government. At some point, we need to start to reduce the size and scope of government, right?
I think a couple years ago, one of the previous House members had went through with the Legislative Research Council all summer long to look at bills that were no longer relevant, that we didn't need on the books, things like that. He tried to do a cleanup bill on that kind of thing. But I think there were so many bills in it that because it was a cleanup, it didn't pass somehow. I'm not quite sure on it because I don't remember it totally. It's been a few years ago, but yeah, I agree. There's so many bills out there. And then are we proud that we have more bills every year? No, because as far as I'm concerned, the more bills we have, the more we're interfering, unless it's a good bill. But, it's really hard to get property tax reduction passed because too many people have a green IV in their arm. I'm sorry, that's for
not
money.
True story. Yeah, green IV in their arm because what they do is they get paid not to farm, or they get paid for land and greenbelt. They get paid for all kinds of governmental reasons that are nonsensical, right?
Well, no, I'm talking about the government waste we have. We have a $5.1 billion budget for South Dakota. We don't even have 880,000 people, I think, as of this last census. We have 9 Indian reservations here. And so that takes that population out. And there's not that many of us here. To have a $5.1 billion, you want me to tell you that math right here? I don't know math in my head like that.
I don't need the exact number. My point is it's a huge number, though.
It's a huge number.
It's a gargantuan number. It's an unsustainable number.
And we're supposed to be a conservative state. I'm telling you, we're paying for so many programs. And if somebody says, hey, Freimuller, why did you vote against that bill? And I'll say it had the P word in it. And they said, well, what do you mean? I said it had a program in it. There's nowhere that I could ever find that it says I have to take the taxpayers' money to pay for a program that you think is important. That's what your own checkbook is for.
There you have it. So I'm not trying to pin you down on the number, but I'm trying to make a point. These are unsustainable numbers that we're dealing with, folks. That's the reality, right?
And to me, that's not sustainable. $5.1 billion it's just not.
Understood. All right, what in South Dakota are the hottest topics that you think, hey, that we're working on, that we can make a difference on?
Well, I think food security is a huge thing all across the nation. And Representative Tina Mullally, who's speaking over here by me in this other place, she had brought a resolution to even look at all the foreign countries that are buying up our ag land all across this country. And we actually want to put a stop to that. Because if we don't have our own land to raise our own crops on, what are we going to do? And we've got these cattle, they're going after cattle. They want to make meat and processing plants, and eggs are number one industry here. Tourism's our number two. But if our food security and food source, oh my gosh, look at how the grocery stores were so empty when this coronavirus thing, everybody was panicking and buying all these food. And we want, one of the big things we wanted with all the excess revenue we got and with some of the CARES funding was to expand existing meat lockers here in South Dakota so we could butcher and process our own beef. We'd like to be able to sell it across state lines. We have the big packers working against us, and everybody out there should be outraged because we need to label our beef, American beef, South Dakota beef or something. Country of origin labeling's huge. I don't know if the majority of the people out there know that the beef they're buying everywhere else is from Argentina or Brazil.
My listeners know, but most don't. You're right. And I buy local meat from local cows, and Zach here, my son-in-law, and I just bought a calf, a cow, and a pig, and it got slaughtered, and we put it in our freezers, and so we certainly buy and know the source of our meat, and I would encourage people to do the same thing.
What's your wait time? It's over a year wait time here in South Dakota.
In mine, it was literally about 3 weeks.
It was.
Yeah.
But see, we want to expand. I mean, I don't think the CARES, any of that kind of money should be given to new businesses, but existing businesses, you know, because they really had, some of them suffered because you couldn't get the employees. But, you know, the food security is important. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of NBATH, National Agrobiodefense Facility. It's in Manhattan, Kansas. This is a whole nother can of worms we're going to open.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I was going to talk about this with you, but it used to be the animal testing was up on Plum Island off of New York.
Yes.
And I've never been there, so I don't know what it is, but it was surrounded by salt water. So if they did mad cow or foot and mouth disease, I guess there was like 5 breaches since the 70s, since it was at Plum Island.
Yes.
But then they went to move it to the mainland, and I guess they tried to put it in North Carolina, and the ranchers and the hunters said absolutely not, because if there's ever an outbreak, you got to kill everything. Well, Manhattan, Kansas, the university there took it as economic development. Now they put it in the heartland of our country. Now, why would you put something? It is insanity, and that happened under the Obama administration. And I'm telling you, you guys, we have a serious issue with food security in this country. Between losing our foreign land, losing the ag land all up, and who owns it. I mean, food control is big, and I don't care if you think I'm a conspiracy theorist or not, but if us conservatives don't start putting the dots together, we are going to be so far behind the eight ball, it's ridiculous.
Well, part of the problem is the American people don't really realize that food doesn't just come from the store.
Correct.
I mean, I know that we get it at the store. I understand all that, but there's a whole ecosystem, a whole, you know, behind the scenes that you got to understand. It used to be, for example, right when the corona hit, I tried to get a cow, and it did take me 3 months to wait. And I know that before, I used to be able to get meat like at a moment's notice almost. But simply the stores didn't have meat and a lot of that kind of stuff. And then the farmers said, you know what, everybody wants everything.
Well, I remember when grocery stores didn't even have milk, and then they didn't have bread. And so then you tried to buy frozen bread dough, and there was no frozen bread dough, you know, and just different things. But I want people
out
there.
Wheat grinder, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, no.
Yeah, for me.
Some people probably
did. My wife and kids know how to make bread. We have the wheat grinder, and we have wheat, and we just grind up the wheat and make bread, man. Come on.
That's because you're unique.
You're right.
You guys
some would say we're absolutely strange.
Your son-in-law's just smiling from ear to ear.
But yeah, we are very unique and different and stuff like that. But it is true, and we need to be resourceful. We need to think through these things, and we need to work together. We need to jettison all the left-right paradigms and everything else, and we need to say, hey, food security is a serious issue.
It is, and thank you for that. Like I said, I didn't think we'd, you know, talk about that, but I'm glad we did, because it is serious, and I want to know if people out there are even paying attention that all this this land is being bought by foreign countries.
Now, right behind you, or behind me, I should say, is the big Display of Loving Liberty, which is a radio network that I'm syndicated by. And the owner of Loving Liberty Radio Networks is a lady by the name of Kathy Smith. Wonderful lady. Her husband passed away not too long ago, a couple of years ago. And he is a huge rancher in Utah. And he's a beef man and, you know, this kind of stuff. And they have got a nonprofit land organization that helps people understand that the ranchers are getting put out of business and land's being bought up by everybody. We need to connect you two.
Okay. That'd be great.
She will be here at Freedom Fest.
Okay.
If you find me at the same kind of a booth at Freedom Fest, I don't know where we'll be, but you'll find the same backdrop and me and everybody else. And I want to introduce you to Kathy, because she is the real deal, and she's writing a book about her husband and about the experiences that they've all had. And going forward, they still have their nonprofit organization that I think can help with this effort.
Well, and, you know, if you look at this, the four major packers, I mean, we do have Tyson, which I believe is still American-owned, but the four major food packers for this country, to my knowledge, are owned by the Brazilians and the Chinese. And I mean, somebody can out there can double check me, but like I say, I think Tyson is still owned by the Americans. But if you look at
all right, ladies and gentlemen, quick pause. We're talking to Julie. She's doing a great job. We've got more in this interview left. We'll come back from the break, finish that up. Incredible stuff. She's a state senator for the state of South Dakota. One of the freest states in the union, I must have to say, right? I know we still got corruption and a lot of work to do, but it's good work. More in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Hundreds of criminal gang members around the world were tricked into using a phone encryption app operated by the FBI to plan their dirty deeds leading to their arrests. Law enforcement officers in 18 countries began to unveil the scope of what is known as Operation Trojan Shield late Monday. A New Zealand police spokesman says what they achieved Monday.
We've seized, during the course of these operations, about 8.6 kilos of meth that came in through the border. Yesterday, we recovered about 20 ounces of methamphetamine, over $1 million in cash, four firearms, multiple kilos of iodine, and we're restrained about $3.7 million in assets to date.
The Biden administration on Tuesday announced the formation of a new task force to address supply chain disruptions. The task force is set to minimize the impacts of supply chain disruptions on workers, consumers, families, and businesses. USA Radio News.
This report is sponsored by Holland America. After a year-long hiatus, the wait is over, and it's time to cruise again. Holland America Line is ready to set sail round trip from Seattle to Alaska with their new ship, New Amsterdam, with departures starting July 24th and sailing through October 2nd. These Alaska cruises will only be for guests who have received their final dose of the vaccine 14 days prior to embarkation. The ship has also been upgraded to make guests feel even safer with enhanced sanitation practices, upgraded HVAC systems, UV lighting, and enhanced filtration practices. Gus Antorcia is the president of Holland America Line.
We're working through the protocols with the CDC, and so I suspect there may be some adjustments and changes we need to make. But I think everything that a guest has come to expect and enjoy from a Holland America cruise will be available. So that includes our onboard dining options. It includes the entertainment offers. It includes the special lectures, the special programs that we add to all of our voyages.
Visit www.hollandamerica.com.
Suspected Russian hackers that shut down the Colonial Pipeline on May 7th lost some of its ransom money, thanks to the Department of Justice. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The Department of Justice has received $2.3 million of the ransom Colonial Pipeline paid to the hacking group DarkSide, the FBI obtaining the password to the hacker's Bitcoin account. During a news conference, Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco saying, "Today we turn the table on DarkSide." She also said,
"Ransomware attacks are always unacceptable, but when they target critical infrastructure, we will spare no effort in our response."
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
An Arctic animal revived after being frozen for 24,000 years in Siberian permafrost has been revived. Rotifers, a minuscule freshwater critter, was discovered about 11 feet into the permafrost. The researchers thawed the rotifers in lab experiments. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking to a state senator in South Dakota. Her name is Julie. Doing a great job. Fry Mueller is her last name, and she does a fantastic job. We're talking about really farming, land, the federal government. They're out of control. We've got to stand up and do it now. Julie continues.
You'll end up with the Clintons.
Oh, I didn't know that, but thank you for letting me know that. Well, but what I'm saying is, why aren't our U.S. Congress people and senators looking at this? We always hear how people get money from these big packers or money from telecommunications or money from this. I cannot believe the United States of America doesn't own and produce all of this ourselves. Why are we relying on foreign companies to feed us? This is ridiculous, you guys. This is so stupid.
It's psychotic for sure. But you know what? America, the whole purpose of government is to create level playing fields, allow contracts to be honored, these kinds of things. You know, we've had for the last 50 years in America this idea that, you know, all the laws are designed to let foreigners succeed and for Americans to fail, from import to export to trade agreements to regulations on, you know, if you're an illegal, you can come in and do all these things. If you're an American, you have all these regulations that tie you down. I mean, the playing field has been so manipulated for so long that you know what? Ranchers can't make it. Farmers can't farm. They can't afford to. There's too much regulations. Or the boom and the bust cycle is too abusive to them, and they just get ground down and then look for other jobs. All I'm saying is we've got to change the whole root cause, which is government should honor contracts, create a level playing field, and get out of the way. But, I mean, there's a lot of areas where, you know what, the government's paying people not even to farm, not even to grow crops.
Well, look at the billions of dollars we're wasting on illegal immigration here.
For sure.
And we could be building food processing plants that are American-owned with American produce, with American pigs and American cows and chickens. Why aren't we raising and taking care of processing our own food?
Amen. How much of South Dakota is owned by the feds? Or controlled,
well,
I should
we've
say.
Got 9 Indian reservations, and then mm-hmm. we've got the Black Hills National Forest, and then of course Mount Rushmore is now has been part of the federal level
the
for years.
I ask it because in Utah and some of the western states, you've got 80-90% federal government control of lands. I believe it's unconstitutional as all get out, but that's another part of the reason. You got housing prices going up crazy because people can't really get land and spread out a little bit. You've got people struggling to get the right farmland and the right water that they need because of all this. And the federal government's tying up all these lands. I mean, that's a big battle, too.
Well, you know what we're battling now is that 30 by 30 land grab that Biden's got going on. And we just had in Hill City, which is close to Mount Rushmore, we had a sawmill that's been there for decades. And due to what the National Forest Service is doing, they're cutting back the ability of us to log even more so badly that the company had to go out of business. And there was only 1,000 people in this town, and it affects at least one-third of this community. They're taking out the logging in the sawmill. Who is going to log the Black Hills National Forest? I mean,
what they're going to do is let it just overgrow, and you'll have fires.
It will have fires, exactly. And we had a bill this last session, House Bill 1194, that would allow us to look at any executive orders made by a president and ignore them. Have our attorney general and our executive board and our governor look at these
orders.
And I
appreciate that bill, but you don't need a bill to nullify.
Well, exactly. But it was still brought. But the whole point, South Dakota, the Senate killed it. It passed overwhelmingly in the House. And we need stuff like that, even though we have the 10th Amendment, too.
Amen. Are you familiar with Sheriff Richard Mack's decision where he beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court?
I am, because I heard you guys speaking on Friday night.
Because it's the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered in America today. It literally, I mean, Bill Clinton said to Sheriff Mack, you will enact the Brady Bill, Sheriff, or I'll arrest you. And Richard Mack basically said, no, you won't. They went to the Supreme Court. Richard Mack won. Bill Clinton lost. And the whole point was the federal government has no authority to mandate local jurisdictions to do anything. There's zero authority.
They're killing us.
The Supreme Court proved it. We just need people to take action and nullify now.
Well, we're trying, but let me tell you, we gotta have our executive branch on board with that here in our state.
That's for sure. Who you elect matters, ladies and gentlemen. Knowing who your representatives are matters, and I'm going to repent and ask you to do the same. Julie, thank you so much.
Thank you for all your time. I appreciate it. And remember, for all of you people out there, conservatives, we're losing ground. You need to pay attention, find out, ask questions, get involved. Thank you so much for listening to me today and for having this conversation.
Thank you so much. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Man, just great, great topics, great people. Red Pill Expo. We had so much content that we were able to record from so many guests at the event. We couldn't even cover it all live. I could have done some special broadcasts and just went on for hours and hours and hours. Some hosts do that, but I don't believe in it. I think that you've only got enough time in your day to listen to so much. And so I try to spread it out and not take more of your day than you already give me. So thank you so much for all that you do. Our next guest, her name is Florence Thompson. She is involved in what's called Stop Fed Ed. She wants to shut down the education department. Amen to that. Republicans have been promising that forever, and they don't get it done. She's with a group called USPIE.org. USPIE, so USPIE.org, and is basically a Parents Taking Back Education organization. And they've got a South Dakota chapter, which she's the president of. Florence Thompson starts now.
To have you along, my fellow Americans. Florence Thompson is with me. Florence, you are one of the lovely ladies at the John Birch Society, too, right?
Well, I'm not really in the John Birch Society, but I'm in the South Dakota Citizens for Liberty.
Okay.
And we are the biggest and oldest and probably the only Tea Party in South Dakota.
Wow, good for you. How'd you get involved in that?
Well, we actually won the lawsuit against the IRS.
All right.
We were part of that, group that actually got an award for that.
Amen. Love yeah. it.
So we did get a little bit of money, which we were going to use to buy the Rapid City Journal, but we're waiting till the price gets down to about a dollar.
How much do they want for it?
Well, if we bought it for what it was worth, it'd be pretty cheap.
Yeah, but you don't know what the numbers are.
Oh, right. they weren't actually selling it.
Oh.
It changes hands a lot, though.
I see. Well, you have to keep an eye out and work on it, or else yep. you might have to just start a competing.
Right. So, anyway.
Right, so you're with that group, and you're also at the Red Pill. How'd you like?
Yeah, I'm one group I'd like to really talk about.
Sure.
As I am president of South Dakota Parents Involved in Education.
All right. Before we get to that, though, tell okay. me, though, you grew up in South Dakota?
Oh, actually, I just came over the line. I'm an immigrant from Nebraska.
All right.
Well, I came up here about 50, 60 years ago.
All right. Well, they'll take freedom fighters, I'm sure.
Okay.
All right. So tell me about this education group, then.
Okay. Like I said, I'm president of South Dakota Citizens for Liberty. I mean,
yes.
South Dakota Parents Wait, Involved in Education.
Hold on, you're involved with Citizens for Liberty.
I switched, yes, I belong to that too.
You are the president of?
South Dakota Parents Involved in Education. Got to get this straight. We are a chapter of USPIE, USPIE, United States Parents Involved in Education.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a group that their goal is to eliminate the Federal Department of Education.
Amen. Let's get it
yes.
done.
And get all the federal mandates out of the schools.
Yes. Jettison Common Core.
Bring control back to the local level. Get rid of all the federal mandates. Get rid of Common Core. Get rid of the LGBT agenda. And get rid of critical race theory. Everything that's... and stop the dumbing down of the students. So it's a huge job, but somebody's got to do it, you know.
Amen to that. We'll keep it up. What's the website? USPIE.
I believe it's USPIE.org. Anyway, we have we're working on a documentary film. It's called Truth and Lies in American Education.
Wow, good for you.
And so that is we're in the process of funding that. So if you would go to Truth and Lies in American Education, we'd appreciate some help on that from folks if they would send us a little bit of money.
How
so we can get
to raise?
That. Oh, I don't know. I think they've raised $50,000 so far. So I'm there
okay,
trying
so
to.
We got a little bit to go, but they're
yeah,
on track.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, the problem in South Dakota is like it is everywhere else is the establishment claims that there aren't any problems in education, and they claim they're not doing what they're doing. So
yes,
and
really a lot of the problem not only is it the communist and socialist indoctrination,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of it's sexual in nature too.
Oh, absolutely,
and that's a big problem.
Yeah, I'm a retired school psychologist, so I've really studied the LGBT issues, and basically, you know, we are affirming these kids in their gender confusion, which is a result of generally of sexual abuse. So we are these kids, that's why they're messed up, most of them. And so that's, you know, we're affirming them in their the results of their abuse.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. We're in the middle of this incredible interview, ladies and gentlemen, about USPIE.org. Right? This is serious, serious stuff, folks. Florence Thompson with more details. Florence?
It's just terrible.
Well, I believe in God's laws where men are born men and male and women are born as female.
Right.
I believe it's the eternal characteristic of the spirit.
Right.
And that this matters.
Yep.
And that we need to stick with God's, you know, he said male and
absolutely.
Female.
Absolutely.
Created I them.
Absolutely.
And we need to stick with that understanding.
Absolutely. It's demonic. The whole agenda is demonic. The idea that, you know, you've heard of MAMBLA, the Man
yes.
Boy Love Association.
Yes, it's a UN.
Their slogan
NGO.
is sex by eight or it's too late.
They're insane.
So these little kids are being abused sexually, and then the result is they become gay or they become trans or they become confused, and they're generally their personality split. You know,
and commonly they abuse somebody else
into
as
multiples.
Well.
Yeah.
Because it just is a cycle that repeats, right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, what a sad tale to tell.
It
yeah,
is.
I appreciate you
and
guys
to be,
and your
to
work.
To be
that's
promoted
important.
By, you know, be promoted by our government institutions, which schools are government institutions.
Yeah, that's why I don't call them public schools. I call them government schools.
Well, I don't even call them schools anymore.
Well, that's a good point, too.
Yeah.
And I have eight children.
Wow.
And I haven't put a single one of them
cool.
in government school ever.
Excellent. We, at USPI and SDPI, we really encourage homeschooling right now because the schools are just a mess.
Yes, they are. Now, SDPI is a
they're
state
toxic.
Chapter of?
Of USPI.
US. Oh, okay.
U.S. Parents Involved in Education. Yeah.
Wow. And did you have children in the education system? Now you're retired, right?
Well, I'm quite old. You can't see, but I am old. So,
yeah, but we need those grandma militias.
I'm a grandma, and my grandson is in fifth grade. So,
okay.
Just going into fifth grade.
So you
and
have a stake for the future generation.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And so, anyway, but we do really encourage homeschool, alternative schools. You know, if you can get into a church school or something like that.
Yeah, so we homeschooled all of
they're
our children.
Generally
when they
better.
Got old enough, we put them into a Christian private school.
Uh huh. Yeah. And even those you need to really check out because a lot of them have drunk the Kool-Aid too. So you need to know what you're
yeah.
what
Are
you're
you
doing.
Are you familiar with the FACE-based education system?
The what based?
FACE, F-A-C-E.
Hmm. I don't think so.
You gotta go study FACE. It's a Christian curriculum.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's totally different than say Common Core or anything else.
Uh-huh.
It's private. It's religious. And it has to do with the way of learning.
Mm-hmm.
So you record, you research, you do all these different things.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a very unique form of education called FACE.
Right. Right. Cool.
Anyway, all right. Well, we appreciate you. And when we started out, you were telling me a salacious story.
Do we want to tell the salacious story? We better not. This is about children here.
You guys are dancing, right?
Yeah. A bunch of us senior citizens are out there dancing, and we danced all through the COVID thing with no masks.
Good
we
for you.
We get together all the time, no masks, and we dance.
Did anybody die?
No.
No?
Okay, oh, just good. Of natural causes.
I know, but that's a different discussion, right?
Well, you should see some of the guys I dance with. One's got a the pacemaker. I said, now, if that thing goes off while we're dancing, do I get zapped too, you know? So anyway, another one's got terminal cancer. Another one, let's see, what's his thing? He's a lifelong diabetic, and so it just goes on and on. But yes, we keep dancing, and we have a lot of fun.
But it's good for you, though. It keeps
you young, right? That's right. And we're not wearing any darn old masks.
And it keeps you active?
It does. It's good for your mind. It's good for your body. It's good socially, you know.
And so you put on this nice long dress skirt, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
So, yeah.
All right. She doesn't want to tell you the whole story.
Salacious granny.
Anyway.
Sure. Who's gonna see this? Who's gonna hear this?
Well, it's just out across the world.
Okay,
it's a nationally syndicated show.
Maybe we shouldn't put it out across the world.
Well, anyway, she said she had this awesome dress that would move nicely, and the gentleman liked to watch the dance.
I'll describe it. It's a long skirt that has kind of flounces at the bottom, and it's kind of a thin material, and it's dark. It's black. And then it has these red swirls through it. And so when you dance, it really swirls and moves and everything. So it's good dance skirt.
Right.
And I just told the ladies there that I call that outfit Viagra.
Oh, boy. So there you have it, ladies and
there
gentlemen.
There you have it.
You know what? There's so many good people in South Dakota. I came here and I fell in love with your airport. I go to airports all over the country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just decided that I loved your airport. It is calm and collected and quiet and efficient. I mean, it's something to behold.
I live 5 miles from that airport. You fly over my house when you come in, usually, because we're right in the flight path.
Do you like it or does it bug you?
No, it's just fine. And, you know, after 9/11, I got to loving the sounds of the planes.
Yes, because you felt like it brought back normalcy
and
prosperity.
It's a sound
right?
of freedom, yes.
Absolutely.
And, of course, we have a major Air Force base here, too.
Yes, for sure.
And so we have a lot of airplane noise. And I used to work out there. I was a school psychologist at the school out there at the base.
That was back when things were more normal.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And that would those B-1s would just rattle those windows. They put those afterburners on, and it would just rattle the windows. So, yeah, it's the sound of freedom.
All right. Well, I'm counting on you now to shut down the Department of Education.
Well,
can you get that done for me?
You know, it'd help if our Congress would wake up and figure out what's going on, because they basically put Common Core into law.
Yes, sad but true.
Yeah.
All right, Florence Thompson, everyone, doing a phenomenal job. She's with, tell me the website again.
Okay, it's U.S. PIE, P-I-E, United States Parents Involved in Education. It's probably under Stop Fed Ed. And
right.
Also the film is Truth and Lies in American Education.
All right, I'm taking a little bit of notes so I can get this down right to help promote. Ladies and gentlemen, we need you to donate to the film immediately. Every penny counts. We got to jettison the Department of Education. The Republicans have been promising it forever. They've simply failed us in that regard. But if enough of us get together and bring the citizen brigade to bear, our greater numbers shall be successful, and we need your help. Florence Thompson, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having 8 kids.
You're very welcome. I've got 8 kids from one woman.
That's wonderful.
And I've been married for 29 years.
Congratulations to her, too. That's wonderful.
You didn't think I was old enough to be married 29 years, did you?
Oh, yeah, I did.
All right, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Liberty Roundtable Live. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, this is what I mean by good people involved in great projects all over at Red Pill Expo. Now, she mentioned this film from USPIE, USPIE.org, ladies and gentlemen. And this film, I didn't know much about. They're in the middle of funding it and getting it rolling. But it's a documentary, right? It's a documentary, ladies and gentlemen. Truth and Lies in American Education. Here's the trailer. Check this out.
Your average run-of-the-mill American has no idea that the UN has any influence in the classroom.
Hey,
hi.
How's it going?
Good to meet you.
Good to meet you, too.
I brought my book, too, if you would sign it.
Oh, I'd be very happy to, absolutely.
I honestly didn't believe half of what I read in that book until I went and fact-checked it myself.
So much of the education policy that is now completely infected our public school system is coming from Washington, D.C., and beyond that, from the UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization.
What's your goal? What do you want for your child? Because the school's goal is different than what your goal is. The institution of school forms a wedge between the child and the parent. You might ask, you know, how? Child comes home, says, Daddy, I don't understand this. Can you help me? The dad says, I've never seen this before. I can't help you. Can't even help a fourth grader with its fourth grade math homework. Stupid, dumb daddy.
The legislature might have repealed Common Core as a term, but they renamed it. So right now, people think we don't have Common Core. We do. It's under a new name.
You're talking about the minds, the souls of your children. Don't play around with that.
I really just want to get parents involved and informed because I didn't know this stuff. That child is my child. God gave me that child. And for the government to think that it is their responsibility to take care of that child is just unimaginable.
USPIE.org, ladies and gentlemen. Incredible documentary, Truth and Lies in American Education. Please donate today. I don't get a penny. I'm just telling you, I think they're doing great work highlighting what's really going on in your government schools, and you better take heed. You better sit up and take notice now, my fellow Americans. Wow, good work, folks. Good work to Florence Thompson and many others involved there. Thank all of you. Final story of the hour, headline says this. Should companies be allowed to require their employees to get a COVID-19 shot? In other words, as an employer, can I mandate that? And the answer is, you're not going to like this, my fellow Americans. But remember, I'm pretty libertarian in many ways. Of course, companies can demand that if they choose. It's their company. So take my company, Liberty News Radio. If I want my employees to be vaccinated, I can say, look, part of working here is a vaccination. If you don't have one, you don't want one, that's up to you. But you can go ahead and, you know, be employed by somebody else. If you don't like that, you can start your own company just like I did, right? So remember, whose company is it? It's mine. That means it's my property, my asset, my value, my ownership. You can't tell me what I cannot do with my own asset. You say, Sam, that's not fair. What about these massive employers? Yeah, maybe we should start busting up these massive employers. Maybe Americans shouldn't just try to be trained to go work for the man all day. Maybe they ought to try a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit. Maybe we ought to step out and start our own companies if we don't like it. Just like, can Facebook shut me down? Can Twitter shut me down? Yes, they can and they will. If you don't believe me, try it. Okay, is it right? No. But you know what? They can do that. And if you don't like it, start your own Twitter, people. Start your own Facebook. Start your own company. Don't just go to work for somebody else. Decide you're going to make a difference yourself, right? So, yes, I think these companies can do that. They should have the right to do that. They should be able to turn people away they don't like, too. If you don't want to make a cake for a gay person, don't. Right? People have the right to their own conscience and their own beliefs, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, no matter how abhorrent you believe their beliefs are. All right, remember, you can't violate conscience and property. So yes, companies have the right to do this if they want. I own a company, and I would never require a vaccine. I would also never require no vaccine, because I'm not here to control people's lives. I want people to do what they think best. And if they want a vaccine, then by all means, I understand. And if you don't want a vaccine, by all means, I understand. And I hope and I'm glad that you will take the time to decide for yourself what you think is best, and I will respect your decision, because I believe in people's rights to choose. And I'll hire people that are like-minded and can carry out my business needs regardless. And I hope other companies will view it the same way. That's a wrap. I got several more interviews to cover over the next couple of days. We'll get to those. I'm telling you, Red Pill Expo was great. We're looking forward to Freedom Fest coming up in July as well. We've got so many events, it's shocking. I'm going to Nevada on around the 20th of June to celebrate with the second county becoming a constitutional county. We've got so much on the docket. It's incredible. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.